Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hello, my name's Nigel Jones, and I'm Sales and Marketing Director at Practice Plan. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm joined today by Paul Worskett, practice owner of Amblecote Dental Practice, and we're going to be talking today about the latest stage of the reform programme for the English NHS dental contract. Paul is involved with testing one of the prototypes and will be sharing his thoughts with me in discussion. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, Nigel.
Hi there. I just wanted to start off straight away with asking a little bit about how long you've been involved in the reform programme and then to move on to which prototype you're now working on.
Okay, well, we started off as a pilot practice in July 2011. We were one of the first wave of practices joining at that stage. And so we've been involved in it really for the last, coming up for 5 years now. We went into the prototypes in January. So we're coming up to, just completing 6 months as a prototype practice. We are a Blend B practice, so that means that the capitation covers bands 1 and 2 UDA treatments, and band 3 treatments are activity-based, so we get activity remuneration for those courses of treatment with band 3s.
Okay, and just going back a little bit, what was the experience of working as one of the pilot practices like?
Well, it seems a very long time ago now, but to start with, there was quite a lot of upheaval because it was all so new to everybody. In the build-up to it, we received 1 day's training from the Department of Health and 1 day's training for our software suppliers, who is Software of Excellence. And that was really on how to use the software, because the prototype system is very computer driven. All the dentists in the practice went on the training day, and we probably took about half of our support staff along as well. Looking back, it was inadequate really, because I don't think it really prepared us properly. But you know, nobody knew what to expect, and it was such a big change. But that's what piloting is all about. It's, you know, finding out what things are like and learning from it. You know, trying to learn what's involved with implementing a new system. I would say that originally the software was quite chunky and clunky and a little bit complex to use. But, you know, the department took on board feedback from pilot practices and it did get much smoother over time. I think for the prototypes coming in now, though, you know, the UDA practices that are becoming prototypes, I think the transition will be much better. There's more material, reference material for them, more resources to use, and I think the training that they've had has probably been better than we had, because the learning that's been gained from the pilot process has been beneficial for the new practices coming in.
That was going to be one of the questions I was going to ask, actually, Paul, was that it's obviously not so much of a big step for you because you've been able to get familiar with various aspects of the proposals for the new contract through the pilots, and yet for others it's a much bigger leap. But from what you're saying, because of the learning that you've gone through, that can be then transferred to those practices that are coming into the reform programme for the first time, and it should be much easier.
That's right. I think the pilot practices that we were part of, we had a bit of a rough time of it, and the learning that's been gained from that has been taken on board by the department, and obviously that's being built on all the time as things move forwards.
Now, some of the early findings of those pilots were very positive about certain aspects which have made their way into the prototype contracts. So things like the oral care pathway and the oral health assessment. What was your experience of those elements?
Well, the oral health assessment was quite a different way of approaching things from the UDA system. There is a lot more structure to it, but it did mean making longer appointments initially so that everybody could get familiar with it. And I think to start off with, we were booking something like half an hour for each assessment. But, you know, people learn pretty quickly. And within a few months, we got that down to about 15, 20 minutes. Now we currently book 15 minutes for an oral health review, an oral health assessment. So, you know, things do speed up over time. And as everybody gets more familiar with the new way of working and it sort of beds in, then it gets more fluent.
And what's been your early impressions then of transferring that knowledge and that learning from the pilots into the new prototypes?
Well, for us, it's not really made much of a difference. We basically carried on where we left off. We're a Blend B practice, which I'm pleased about. So we're more able to stick to the sort of capitation model of prevention and not really having to pay too much attention to the activity. But obviously there is an element of that comes into it.
Yes, that touches on, I think, one of the areas of concern for some people, which is about the potential for the financial risk, because obviously within the pilots, the contract value was largely ring-fenced and protected, whereas there's a lot more risk involved in the prototype contracts. What's your sense of that, and how do you think other practices are doing?
Well, I think that there's always been financial risk in running a practice. You know, it's just the world that we live in. Prototypes have a 10% risk on the contract value for the targets or the sort of performance that we have to provide, and 10% of it is also on the DCOF, which is the Dental Quality Outcomes Framework, and that's basically a scoring system whereby practices who underperform on certain key metrics might get penalised, but on the other hand, practices who do better than the average may stand to actually gain from it. So altogether, there's a potentially a 20% risk on your contract value. But when you think about UDA practices, there's a risk, a greater risk for them, because if they underperform by 4%, then the whole contract's at stake. So whereas we are at risk of 20% of our contract value, UDA practices potentially have got the whole of their contract value at stake.
Now, you've touched on the measurement that comes with DCOF, Paul, and I guess there's also measurement associated with ensuring you get the appropriate capitation payments for the right number of individuals. How are those measurement systems going and the data validation, and also where have they got to with the DCOF in terms of its full implementation?
Well, on the performance side of things, there is a pilot portal which we use. It's separate from the normal sort of Compass system, although I think they are intending to merge it into Compass at some point, hopefully when Compass is a bit more reliable as well. But the pilot portal contains information which is relevant to us as a prototype practice. And some of the reports that we're getting from that are really very helpful. You know, they can tell us about the list sizes for all the individual dentists and the activity levels for all the individual dentists. And also it gives us a measure of what patients are about to lapse off the list and so forth. So it's really, really very, very helpful.
And the accuracy of the data is at a level that you're comfortable with?
It is. It's. There's been one or two issues with how quickly it comes through, but they're aware of that and they're working on it. And I have to say, things do seem to be improving on that front. So, you know, all things are sort of heading in the right direction, I think. I get a sense that that's what's happening.
Okay, excellent. And you're talking about being able to see the activity of other dentists within the practice. How does it work in terms of the way that you remunerate your associate dentists under the prototype contract?
Well, it's up to each individual practice to structure their own payment system. And what we do in our practice is that we try and gear our remuneration system for our dentists along the same lines as the prototype, so that you know, the incentives are aligned. So our dentists have a list size, and the incentive is for them to maintain that list size. Otherwise, it will affect their payment. And they also have an activity target, so that if they fall below that, then that also is going to affect their payment. But all of that has to put into context of the practice as a whole. So if one dentist is underperforming on activity, say, and another dentist is overperforming, then it can balance out. So the practice as a whole is still meeting the requirements.
Okay. And what's your understanding? Because I imagine you get together with some of the other practices that are involved in the prototypes from time to time. What's the experience across the country like? Do you have any sense of that?
Well, funnily enough, we don't really have much contact with other practices. Most practices, I think, tend to do their own thing. And it is a bit of a closed shop, I'm afraid. It's a bit of a shame, because I'm sure we could all learn a lot more from each other.
Yes, I'd be fascinated to find out if there's a difference in approach that the Blend A practices have compared to what you're finding in Blend B. But that's interesting from what you say, that there's a lack of sharing of that information at the moment. But I guess it's fairly early days.
Absolutely, it is early days. And I think it's probably going to need another few months yet before things fully settle down, particularly with the UDA practices, because the whole thing's new to them anyway.
Absolutely. The Minister for Health, I was listening to Alistair Burt at the BDA conference in May, was talking about the contract still being aimed to be rolled out in 2018-19, and he used the words subject to a positive evaluation of the prototypes. I know, as we've just said, that it's early days, but is your sense that 2018-19 is a realistic target?
Well, most of the prototypes, even the UDA practices, I think, came on stream in April. So they'll probably need a good 12 months to evaluate. So that will take us up to April 2017. Probably another 12 months to compile some data and evaluation on all of the pilots, the prototypes. Then I suppose April 2018 doesn't seem that unreasonable. But I suppose what depends after that is the pace of the rollout. I think it probably makes more sense to have a gradual rollout rather than a big bang. But we'll just have to wait and see.
That's something that the former CDO Barry Cockcroft always used to talk about, was having a kind of managed move into the new contract. And as you say, a staged rollout. I imagine that's the same sort of language that the Department of Health are continuing to use at the moment.
Yes, I don't think there's any indication that's changed. We can only assume that's what they're intending to do.
There are, of course, things that can come in from left field a bit and change the landscape. And the Brexit vote is an interesting one, especially as it might trigger a general election sooner rather than later. Do you think that might have any impact on the reform programme at all? Or do you think it'll carry on business as usual with the Department of Health steadily working their way towards that sort of 18-19 launch?
I think it'll probably carry on as usual. I think there's general cross-party support for the way the pilots went, certainly with... You know, the APPG, the All Party Parliamentary Group for Dentistry, are all generally in agreement with the way things are going. So I think there's a good chance that it may well carry on in much the same direction as it has been, whoever is in power.
And one of the other left field things that could happen, that there seems to be an increasing amount of talk about, and I'd be interested in your views on it, is the potential introduction of time limited contracts. What's your take on all of that as a topic?
Yeah, that's something which has cropped up in the last few months and year or two. It's a little bit early to say, I guess, but I think that would mean a fundamental change to the contracting arrangements, and I don't know how well that would go down with dentists on the whole.
Yes, I think from the conversations that I've been having with practice owners, there's the fear of what it would do for NHS goodwill value, so that certainly does seem to have the potential for quite a big change. And I think it does seem to vary the difference in approach compared to smaller practices and larger practices. So just going back to the way the prototype's working, How significant do you think the size of a practice might be in terms of its ability to run the contract effectively?
Well, one of the things that we found works well as a prototype and pilot practice is the incorporation of skill mixing and using nurses to do prevention advice and therapists to do some straightforward treatments, such as, you know, perio treatments and smaller fillings. So there's a certain size that you need to be able to incorporate that in your practice. So I think smaller practices are probably going to find it much more difficult to run with the care pathway. And I think the corporates are probably better suited to it.
And that sort of flexibility of skill mix, how have your team responded to that sort of a change?
That's a good question. I think the nurses and the therapists are very positive about it, and they're relishing the prospect of getting involved in treatments more with patients. I think they also get a great deal of job satisfaction from it. The dentists, you need a little bit more persuasion with the dentists, I've found. We can get a bit stuck in our ways, and sometimes it's a little bit more difficult to let go and allow somebody else to take some of the responsibility for what you're doing. But on the other hand, you know, we've had hygienists for many years now, and they've become a well-established part of the way practices operate. So I think it's just a matter of changing one's approach and thinking outside the box a little bit more. But I do think it can be made to work very well.
Yes, I think that's a really important and interesting point, particularly in terms of the NHS striving to get value for money from the taxpayer, that changing use of skill mix, particularly given some of the concerns that emerged from the pilots when it came to the number of patients that were seen. Access is still a really big issue. So is it that better use of the different members of the practice team that's enabled you to maintain your patient numbers?
I think partly that, and also the demographics of the practice are quite important. If you've got a fairly stable patient base, which I think we have, and they're all reasonably well motivated, it's a lot easier to keep things on track and keep your numbers up. If you've got an inner city practice or a practice where there's a large turnover of patients, a lot of patient mobility or high needs patients, then that can be more challenging. It's difficult attracting those type of patients to the practice, and because they're very demanding on clinical time. So it restricts really the pace at which you can take on new patients in that situation.
And talking of the patients, they're obviously the most important component of all of this. What's their experience been, and what's their feedback on the way that the practice has been working over the last few years?
Well, the vast majority of patients are really pleased with it. You know, we've had some excellent feedback from patients. They all appreciate the extra time that we spend with them, talking about prevention and, following good practice in oral hygiene, lifestyle choices and so forth. The general response from patients has been very, very positive.
So if you were... just to summarise then, the things that have worked well within the pilot and the prototype and the things that you would change, what key elements would you pick out?
Well, I think certainly the care of patients has improved in the pilots. Patients are getting a much better experience coming to the dentist while we've been a pilot, I think. And I think the staff satisfaction has also been a big plus. On the other hand, it is hard work to implement the changes, and you do need everybody to be on board and engaged with the direction of travel. So it can be hard making those changes. Learning as we go along has been difficult for us because the answers weren't out there, and the Department of Health haven't been able to supply them because nobody knows what the answers are. But I think the positive thing to come out from that is that, you know, people do listen, and they have been taking the feedback on board, and although it's slow coming through, I do think it does get there in the end. But I think overall, if I was to summarise what is either going to make this, you know, successful or not, it all boils down to good communication between members of the practice team and communicating that to the patients as well.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your time, Paul. It sounds as if it's been hard work, but a pretty positive experience for you working within the contract reform program. And as you've just been saying, good for patients and good for the team once they've been able to adjust to new ways of working. And I think that need to embrace a different working patterns and to think about that skill mix is clearly an important part of it. So although for some practices it feels like there could be some challenges ahead with the way the new contract is unfolding, whether you're in particular inner-city areas or depending on the demographic of your patient base and also the size of your practice and therefore your ability to reconfigure and be flexible to adapt to the demands. But overall, it sounds like it's very much heading in the right direction. It's early days, but from what you're describing, it sounds like you're reasonably confident that they should be able to get to a position within the next couple of years to start the stage rollout that they've been talking about for a while.
Yes, that's right. I think that's a pretty good summary of it from our perspective.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much indeed for your time, Paul, and the best of luck with the continuation of the prototype contract.
Thanks, Nigel. It's been great talking to you.